The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM, and I am excited today to have Lindsay Walden, LPC, Certified Sex Therapist, Life Coach, and Business and Media Consultant here with me today. Welcome.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and now, and this is great because you are no stranger to the media.
I'm not. I've been doing media, I guess, now since early 2011.
Okay, and you started out on Great Day St. Louis?
Started out doing a monthly segment on Great Day St. Louis, talking about really all variety of how to live your best life through relationships, some sexual topics, just some general kind of a depression, anxiety, those kinds of things. And then that sort of led into doing a number of radio spots, which then sort of went into having, at times I've had my own show, at times I've just been a guest on shows. I'm currently in the process of relaunching my podcast. So just got a lot of things going on.
And that's a perfect segue. So talk a little bit about your podcast.
Sure. So I, previously my show was called Sexy Thoughts. We'll get into more about why it was called that, I guess, as we go. And that was really focused more on the sexuality aspect of life and relationships. Since then, that's been about 5 or 6 years ago now, I really have branched out more into doing some just general business consulting as well as life coaching in addition to the sex therapy work. I am a general therapist at my core. So it's going to be called Therapy Thoughts. We're changing it just a little bit. That'll kind of open it up more to have a wider range of topics that get covered. But yeah, so we're looking right now at either doing, I'm not sure if it's going to end up being one hourly weekly show or 2 30-minute segments in a week. We're kind of playing with that right now. My co-host and I are sort of figuring that out. But yeah, just want to kind of make it an open forum to discuss, like, what are the things that make us feel stuck in life? And I'm really a big believer that we are always one choice or one decision away from a very different outcome, and that we are really never as stuck as we think we are or as we feel like we are. And so a lot of the focus of the podcast is going to be on, like, what does it look like to live your best life? What are some of the things that get in the way of that? And how do we sort of move forward through this kind of messy world that we live in?
Okay, so let's talk about that. So
okay,
what are some ways that you see people get stuck, get in their own way, or just get stuck?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with that sort of that internal dialogue that we have a lot of, where it feels like we're sort of constantly our own worst, like our own worst enemy or our own critic, and kind of keeping ourselves stuck in the mindset of, I'm not good enough, I can't do, I shouldn't do, something's wrong with me. Those sort of ideas kind of cycle through a lot. And so a lot of the work that I do, both in my practice as well as just in, like, the speaking engagements and things that I do, is trying to get people to sort of shake that mindset a little bit and try to turn it on its side and be like, well, what if we didn't keep ourselves stuck in that same place? What if we gave ourselves permission to actually look at things through a different lens and sort of not holding ourselves hostage? Or kind of, I like to say, you know, how long are you going to make yourself serve a sentence for the things you think you've done wrong? And it's sort of that idea that, you know, if we continually dwell on what we haven't done or how wrong we think we have been or the things that we haven't gotten quite right, then we are really robbing ourselves of whatever joy and happiness in our current moment could be there.
Absolutely.
So it's about trying to reset that a little bit.
Well, and I want to touch back on, all right, you said something that comes up a lot for me when people are talking to me about, you know, in health coaching, talking about all kinds of different habits and the word should.
Oh my gosh. We got to quit shoulding on ourselves.
That's what I always say.
Yep. I want to say Albert Ellis is the person I first heard say that. My original training was in a lot of like cognitive behavioral therapy and rational emotive behavioral therapy. And he was really good about being like, got to quit shoulding on yourself. Like, there is no shoulda, coulda, woulda that is going to make anything better in this moment. In fact, sometimes it's okay to just go, you know, I really screwed that up. But it's okay. Like, I'm learning from it. Because if we were all perfect at this moment, if we had everything figured out already, how boring life would be. I sometimes wish we could maybe be a little less hard on ourselves, because I don't know what good that does if we're just constantly beating ourselves up and reminding ourselves of all of the ways that we have not hit the mark yet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I say yet with intention, because I think a lot of people will say, I haven't done good enough, or I haven't hit that mark. And I always want to add the yet, or it is in progress, or we are working on it. I use a hashtag in a lot of the media stuff that I do, progress, not perfection. Because I think as people, we tend to hold ourselves to a very perfectionistic standard. And oftentimes, we hold ourselves to a higher standard than we would other people. Like, let's say that you and I are having a conversation, and I'm talking about something that I perceive that I've done wrong. You're likely to say, you know, it's not that bad. Like, you did this and this and this, and you've made some progress, and let's look at the good side of things. But in my own mindset, I'm over here beating myself up, telling myself how terrible I am for this one small mistake I might have made. And so a lot of times I find that as people, we tend to be a lot more compassionate with other people than we are with ourselves. And I'm trying to sort of, I don't know, motivate or sort of shake that into people. Like, how do we start to be less hard on ourselves?
Right. Mm-hmm. And where does that start?
Man, I think it comes from a variety of places, honestly. I think in general, our brains are sort of hardwired to want to keep us safe, and they want to keep us from experiencing unnecessary hardship or harm. And so I think it's sort of this, you know, this catch-22 we find ourselves in, where the brain is trying to give us warnings and like, hey, watch out. Hey, you didn't do that good. Hey, check on this thing. Hey, don't do that, as a way to maybe try and keep us safe. But then it kind of runs off down a path by itself. And before we know it, all we're doing is thinking about things from the negative, and we're not really giving ourselves a chance to even see the progress that we've made.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been fighting that war with my inner mean girl. I call her my inner mean girl
long
time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm finally starting to win it. So what are, and I know a few of the ways that I've been able to overcome that. Mm-hmm. A lot of that's just getting present, mindfulness.
It is.
Meditation, things like that, to help myself separate, to help separate me from my ego.
Absolutely. I mean, what you just described is all versions of self-care, really. And I'm such a stickler for self-care. I know that in my own life, anytime I have gotten off track, or maybe there's been times where things haven't gone the way I want them to go in my own life, it gets to a point where I'm just so in my head and I'm just so negative about everything. But just with about 5, 10, 15 minutes of self-care a day, we can really start to take that power back. And so what I mean by self-care is, what are we doing to intentionally manage and monitor our mindset? And so, like you mentioned, meditation is amazing. If you are someone that's listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know how to meditate. I struggle with meditation. I really do. It's not easy to sit there and keep your mind from like wandering and going where you don't want it to go.
But that's not always the
It's not. Yeah. Exactly.
Trick, right?
It is. Yeah. It's about trying to say, well, okay, what could help me be more meditative? Sometimes it's just about enhancing the mindfulness of what we're doing. A really good mindfulness activity that I'll have clients start with is to go look out a window and give yourself, like, set a timer on your phone or like a kitchen timer or whatever you've got to do, and look out the window and start observing how many shades of green you see. And you just sort of make yourself stay very present in that moment and observing the environment around you, or sort of right in front of you. It kind of forces you to figure out how to stay in that present place. It's not always the easiest thing to do starting off. So I try to give people the permission to like ease into it. If 2 minutes seems like way too long, do it for 30 seconds. Just sort of giving yourself those little bits of pieces throughout your day where you're causing your brain to sort of slow down and not stay in the busy place that the world kind of wants us to stay in.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that people just start. Really.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of times it's like, oh, well, how do I do it right?
Yes.
You know, how do I get it right? And it's like, no, just get it. Just do it. And
exactly.
It's a practice. You'll get better.
Yes. I love to say, like, start where you are, do what you can.
Yeah.
So if you aren't actively practicing self-care, don't go try to pick 7 things to do in your day. Just pick 1 or 2. Maybe you meditate or do the mindfulness activity for a couple of minutes, and then maybe you end your day by thinking of 3 things you're grateful for in that day.
Yeah. And you know what? And I know a little bit about your health journey that you've been through. Mm-hmm. We talked health journeys together.
Absolutely. We can totally go there.
And so, you know, and I'm sure self-care has been a huge part of your transformation,
yes,
right?
It has been. I sort of look at self-care as the thing that dug me out of my own kind of hole of negativity that I had found myself in. I had a number of life transitions and changes that sort of happened all at one time. And in the process of doing that, I had always sort of struggled with some stomach conditions and just never felt my best, but it was never to such an extreme that it was like overwhelming. Well, when life blew up around me, my health really took a nosedive. And over the course of about a year and a half, I found myself not really able to keep my practice going, at least not in a real functional way. It was not unusual for me to spend most days like sick in the bathroom for significant periods of time. I landed in the ER a few times, just not able to figure out what was wrong. And so once we got proper diagnoses and found out that I do have celiac disease and I do have some allergies to different food substances that were causing me a lot of inflammation and stress and problems, I had to sort of hit a reset button on my health. And at the same time, notice that because I was so at odds with myself, I was kind of making my condition worse. It's like I would, you know, not eating the right foods was causing a problem, but then if I was sitting there on the couch feeling sorry for myself, that wasn't doing anybody any good, much less me. And so I just sort of started slow, you know? And so the things that I began with was I started using daily affirmations. I started using gratitude as a practice and sort of almost like a spiritual practice of sorts. And I started working on doing sort of like stretching meditation on a daily basis. And over about a 3 or 4 month period, I noticed a huge, significant improvement in my day-to-day life, in my overall health. And this is in addition to, you know, the supplementation I was doing and some of the diet changes I was making. But it was, you know, all about taking care of me. I kind of joked that 2018 was my year to reclaim my self-care. And I totally went on this journey of like, I'm going to just try as many self-care things as I possibly can. And not everything stuck. Not everything was an absolute winner for my life, but I think everything got me closer to where I needed to be. And it allowed me to see that there's not a requirement to be perfect. It's just about doing it. And it's about being consistent. And the more consistent I was, the better I felt.
Talk to me about gratitude as a spiritual practice. I like the way you said that.
Sure. I tend to be a very spiritual person, maybe not a lot of conventionally religious aspects to what I do. But I grew up in a very Southern Baptist environment, and gratitude was always something that was sort of, I guess, preached, but I don't know that I really fully understood how to practice it. And when I went through my own health journey, I did hire a life and business coach to sort of help me reset some things. And she was really instrumental in getting me to think about gratitude. And so really all gratitude is it's about allowing yourself to look at the positives that are there in spite of whatever negatives might exist. And so there's a number of ways to begin a gratitude practice. One of them is what I call momentary mindfulness gratitude, which is where, like, okay, we were having issues with the technology when we were getting started a little bit ago. It would have been so easy for either of us to be like, I just like want to throw it across the room and just be so angry and just be so mad about it. But the mindfulness, like momentary gratitude, is where you sort of stop yourself and you're like, well, what can I be grateful for in this moment? And it's sort of forcing your brain to go from that very negative side to a more positive place. It's not about being fake. It's literally about reflecting and sort of going, well, what is good about this moment? Because if I'm going to let this one thing cause me such issue and such stress, then am I really, you know, is it really that big of a deal? Like, is it really that terrible that the technology wasn't working for us? Like, technology does that. We'll be all right. We got this, you know?
Well, and I liked the way that it wasn't working. So just so that everyone knows what we were doing, we were trying to get Facebook Live set up.
Yes.
And for some reason, we kept popping up on the screen with, like, witches' hats.
Right.
And, like, like sweatbands and all kinds of strange things going on.
It was really funny. You were like a wizard for a minute.
Yeah. And I looked good.
You did.
I mean, I did.
You rocked
really.
That wizard hat, man.
I'm telling you, I could have... Yeah, yeah, Harry Potter, that's all
there
me.
You go.
But anyway, yeah, and it was like, man, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. But I think honestly kind of it was just a moment of levity, right?
We
needed that.
Well, I you know fun. And then like I was running a little bit late, I had some family stuff come up and I was kind of taking care of that, and you know there's this moment where you want to be like, oh, I'm late, oh my gosh, I'm just freaking out, you know. And on the way here I was just sort of stopping myself, I took a few deep breaths, and I was like, okay, you know what, I'm not gonna apologize for my existence, I'm gonna be grateful. That's why I said thank you so much for waiting on me, rather than I'm so sorry, I'm a terrible person. It's like, nope, I really appreciate that you're waiting on me, and you know that I can be here to do this. And you know, being able to pull that gratitude out of a moment of suck is really an important part of the process.
I like the way you said that.
So that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Another way to do it could be possibly in how you set up your day. So if you, in the morning, let's say your alarm goes off and your very first thought is, oh, I don't want to be awake. This is terrible. I hate life. I just don't even want to be awake. You're basically setting the tone for your entire day by how your day starts. And so a gratitude practice in the morning could be something very simple, like saying, okay, I'm going to, maybe you're laying there in bed and doing it. Maybe you get up and write it down. Whatever you have to do to get it out of your head. But basically what I encourage people to do is to maybe think of one thing you're grateful for about yourself, one thing you're grateful for about your family, and one thing you're grateful for about your work life. Now, you can expand that to other things if you are feeling like it's hard to come up with things in those categories, but that literally would take less than 30 seconds, and it starts your morning in a very different way.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely, and I'm going to actually segue into a little bit about trauma, right?
Oh, sure.
So, and here's why I'm going to segue from this into that. It might seem like an odd jump, but
no, go
when
ahead.
I was going through trauma therapy and I was just getting mm-hmm. started with it, I'd had basically a complete nervous breakdown.
Sure.
I needed a complete reset. And one of the first things that my counselor had me do was start a gratitude journal
mm-hmm.
and just really sit in that feeling of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was about, you know, it was about things that I was grateful for in my life, my family, my home. Yeah. All of those things. But it was also, you know, at that time I was so very sick physically and mentally right. that even just getting up and cooking a simple meal mm-hmm. for my family was an accomplishment.
Absolutely. And you should celebrate that.
Exactly.
And if you write it down, you're a lot more likely to remember it and to feel connected to it. And I love that.
And can I tell you, I was just looking through, I was cleaning out an old cabinet and reorganizing my office the other day, and I found that journal. This was just about a week ago, and I just sat and I was looking through it, and it was such simple things that I was doing, yep. but I was literally so grateful that I was able to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what that is for you, mm-hmm. just sitting in that and just being grateful for every moment that we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's something to be said for in that moment that we appreciate it and we give voice to the gratitude, it really does change our cognition and how we think about the world around us. There's a really awesome book I have called The Little Book of Gratitude, and it's like a really small sort of like 70-page book, but it is so packed with great information about how the practice of gratitude really does change our cognition and how it operates in an area of the brain that very little else can actually kind of get to. And so the fact that gratitude as a spiritual practice is sort of meaning that every day I have some gratitude in my day is a way for me just to sort of ground myself in that even if things seem like they are completely falling apart around me, there are still things in that falling apart to be grateful for because I'm still breathing. I'm still here able to experience this journey of life. And I think oftentimes we get really caught up in the negative cycle or that like tornado of negativity that just wants to take over, that we sort of lose sight of what really is good in the moment, or we have to put it into perspective a little bit.
So talking about negative cycle,
yeah, right?
Things that had happened, right? Let's talk about, well, and I want to say, you know, while it started as a negative cycle that brought this on, the light that came out of the Me Too movement.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I'll kind of give like a little brief overview of how I'm connected to the Me Too story for people that haven't followed me before. But I have always, like when I went back to school to be a therapist, I knew that my reason to want to do that was that I wanted to be able to help other people that had gone through trauma. I knew what I had been through was not what everyone had experienced, but I also knew that there's a lot of overlap and similarities with trauma processing amongst people that have experienced it. So that was always my intention, not necessarily to share my story completely publicly, just to sort of help other people. Well, when the Me Too movement started trending on Facebook, book, I just felt very almost like called to action. Like I felt very much like that was something I needed to share. Partly because I did have a platform media-wise that I felt like, okay, I have shared a lot of things. I think I can go there with this story. And I had never really hidden it, but I had also never been that publicly open about it. So in a very brief, just sort of, I don't know, little mini paragraph in my therapy office, like shaking like a leaf, I posted a, you know, yes, this happened to me too. I can't stay silent any longer, and I'm going to just join this movement in a public way. And in doing that, not only did I feel something almost like feel freer in me, but I was blown away with, even without sharing much detail, I was inundated with people saying, thank you so much for sharing. I had no idea, but I don't feel alone anymore. I'm very impressed that you did this just because I know it's difficult and I don't think I could, but I feel like seeing you do it has given me a voice to at least know that I could. It just felt like there was no turning back at that point. And when Gazelle Magazine, kind of put out this call for anybody that was interested in sharing their story as part of their March issue in the beginning of 2018, that, you know, to kind of submit your information. And I had written a column for them a few years ago, so I kind of reached out to the editor and was like, I would really like to be a part of this. And then I shared my story in more detail and ultimately was part of a whole media project where we created a documentary sort of kind of, I guess, cataloging or looking at the different stories of seven different women in the St. Louis area, all that have different stories, but also a lot of similarities in how we've tried to heal and move forward through things. And so that kind of led to a whole other aspect of me being in this kind of public forum of really owning my story. And the amount of healing that came from doing that, I could never have predicted or imagined. It's just sort of, it took my own healing to a whole different level where I felt like now the story did not have any power over me anymore, and I was finding a way to use that to help other people.
What is it about, you know, is it the numbers or is it what is it about when someone else stands up and mm-hmm. it gives you that strength to say, okay, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes up and someone else comes up and it becomes this, it really was such a shift in perception and reality for me. I see. Yeah. And I mean, I'm part of that too. I mm-hmm. also posted and got a call just a little bit later from my dad and my brother. And they're like, excuse me, what? My dad's right. like, I mean, I have a shotgun. Where was this right. person? What happened here?
Yeah.
And I right. was like, that's not helpful, but thank you. That's kind of sweet in a weird way.
It
but
is. Anyway, yep.
But yeah, it was very healing.
Yeah, it's something about breaking silence. You know, I think that that's the big key, is that whether or not you break your silence in a public way or you just break your silence on your own and you just sort of accept the fact that, yes, this happened, but it doesn't have to define me. It doesn't have to be how the rest of my life looks just because this one thing happened. And I think what we ultimately saw from the whole movement was that there is a lot of power in numbers. And I think if there had been people sitting on the sidelines going, man, I really wish I could share this story, but I just don't know how to do that. I don't know that it would be a good idea to do that. It just doesn't, you know, I'm not sure how to. It gave people a how to. It gave them a way to no longer feel alone. And I think when we know that the statistics say about 1 in 3 to 4 women will experience some version of sexual trauma and abuse in their lifetime, that is an astronomically huge number. And the thing that I think a lot of people were also shocked to discover is that there are a lot of men that join this movement also, because the actual numbers for men is not really that different, but it's so much more underreported that I think it just started to give people a voice and a commonality to be able to say, this is really an epidemic proportion problem, and we need to be able to talk about it and not act like it needs to be swept under the rug and pushed aside and, you know, not focused on, because it needs to be focused on. And I think that's really ultimately where we got with it.
There's so much more that I want to talk with you about. We're getting sure. close to being short on time for this episode.
Oh, goodness.
Will you stick around for another?
Absolutely.
I would love that. All right. So let's talk. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about your private practice in St. Peter's. Share
sure.
a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So my private practice, I do see people both from a therapy and a coaching perspective, just sort of depending on what their needs are. I do a lot of kind of relationship consulting also. As a general therapist, I do a lot of work with anxiety, depression, OCD, ADHD, a lot of just general life transitions, grief, trauma, and abuse. And then I've got this side of my practice that's all devoted to the sex therapy work. We may have to get more into that next time and what all of that encompasses.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's pretty much the, I guess, the gist of the practice itself. And then I also have monthly therapy thoughts workshops, which are sort of focused on this whole theme of living your best life. The one in May is actually on boundaries and how to set healthy boundaries in your life. The ones coming up in the future, we're going to have one on gratitude, actually. We're going to have some on affirmations and how to implement those into your lives. And basically, they're hour-long workshops to give people little helpful bits of therapy information that they can implement without feeling like they have to go to a whole therapy session if that feels daunting.
Yeah, and I like what you said in one of our previous meetings. You were talking about making therapy accessible through group opportunities and how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that's important?
Because I do think that there's some still stigma attached to going to one-on-one therapy. And I also think that there are people that from a financial perspective don't feel like they can afford to be in one-on-one therapy. And so the Therapy Thoughts workshops, they're $5 and you get an hour of time with me as well as Q&A and access to any of the things that I have to offer. And we just pick a theme each month and kind of go with it and let it be like little helpful bits of therapy information you can apply immediately.
And your private practice is in St. Peter's and your Therapy Thoughts workshops are also out
they
in St.
are
Charles.
They rotate between the Chesterfield and the St. Charles location of the Bike Stop Cafe.
Gotcha. Well, it has been awesome to have you on. I absolutely love talking with you. I could talk to you all day, every day.
Absolutely. I love it. I will be back.
You will be back. So she's going to stick around. Lindsay Walden, LPC, certified sex therapist, life coach, and business and media consultant. Thank you again for joining me.
Absolutely.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information or to listen to back episodes of this show, soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal is where to find us. You can also find me online at facebook.com/getrealtoheal and reach out to me anytime at amandalaplante.com or 314-583-6749. Go make it a great day.